Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horek and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys, a MarTech agency based out of the Netherlands. Welcome to this new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast, and I'm delighted to have Joe Herkin with us today. And Joe is the CEO at Issue, based out of Palo Alto, and I'm welcoming Joe here with a lot of enthusiasm. So Joe, welcome, and can you please introduce yourself?
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you. Happy New Year to you and to all the listeners.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to 2021 being a great year. Happy to see 2020 in the rearview mirror, I think. I am the CEO of Issue, as you mentioned. We are a massive digital publishing platform that enables businesses large and small, from Costco and Patagonia to individual entrepreneurs, to make their marketing materials, their brochures, conference, exhibitor materials, catalogs, all their content marketing materials, digitally available in a range of assets, from mobile optimized stories and formats to video enhanced paginated documents, and then distribute them to any channel wherever their audience might be. We sort of sit right in the center of this digital transformation ecosystem that is currently exploding. We sit between the storage clouds folks, MarTech, and creativity tools. We're the system that enables businesses to take that content and make it available in a range of formats wherever their audience is.
So that's a very interesting business to be in, because that, especially for the times that are coming, you know, people, we have a content overload. Marketers spend a lot of time on creating content. It has to all, let's say, be in-house style. It needs to look similar on different platforms. And that's what Issue helps with, right?
Indeed. We are a system, we call it the Issue Story Cloud. We enable you to create content once and then use that brand approved high quality content that you've created and turn it into the right set of assets so that it can be consumed on any canvas, meaning it can be consumed on any social network, embedded in an email, or distributed through any of your MarTech stack products, whether it's Hootsuite or HubSpot or any of the systems that you're happening to use. And one of the really important things that I'm seeing has happened in the marketing world, particularly as it relates to digital, is up until a few years ago, digital meant having a website and then taking the URL of that website and essentially putting it into a social channel, whether it's mm-hmm. Facebook or something like that. And then you paid Google a little bit of money, and then you were able to use that to drive consumers to your website. The challenge that we're all dealing with right now is that the web is just one of dozens of channels now that marketers need to be able to leverage and take advantage of. The exciting thing is there are now dozens of channels, and you don't just have to rely on Google or your traditional SEM to drive people to that content. You can have your content on your website, on Shopify, on Instagram, et cetera. So you have a much larger access to specific people that are relevant to your particular product. The challenge with that is each of those channels are essentially requiring marketers to create natively for that channel. And then you have to recreate every single time. So if you're creating content for an Instagram campaign, you then have to reuse that content when you wanna make it available on Shopify, or if you wanna make it available on Snapchat or Pinterest or wherever or your own website. And so there's no marketer in the world, whether it's the biggest company in the world or an individual real estate agent or entrepreneur or an Etsy reseller, that has the time and bandwidth and knowledge to be able to create content natively for each of these different channels. So what we do is we enable you to take the content that you've created once, that marketing brochure, that catalog, a restaurant menu, whatever it happens to be, upload it into the issue system, and then we enable you to, we give you the tools to take elements of that and turn it into a panel mobile optimized story that you can share on Instagram, or turn it into a Pinterest, a piece of content for Pinterest that you can pin, or put it on your website, incorporate video into it, links into it, embedded into a Shopify site, et cetera. So that you can, again, you can do what you do best, which is create that content from whatever tool you're creating it in, and then leverage issue for the distribution of it. Distribution is becoming increasingly important and complicated right now.
Cool. So talking about what's becoming important in this year, so we've just started 2021, and you're in the content marketing space. You have a specific view on what the trends will be for this year, right? So you have a couple of trends, so probably around 10 that you would like to discuss. And could you highlight a couple, though, so that we could, during this podcast, elaborate a little on a few of them?
Yeah. So I'll just hit a couple of them, and actually some of them dovetail really nicely with the marketing technology trends that you identified as well. So maybe we'll talk about some of those overlaps. But I'll hit a couple, and then I can come back and talk more about them. But you know, one I think is this expanding MarTech stack, more integrations, particularly because it's important for marketers themselves to be able to use these tools easily. I'll come back to that in a second. I think one of the other pieces is evergreen content, the ability to reuse content and remix content for different channels. The transformation of the side hustle, and how folks can now use digital tools to be able to have multiple businesses at the same time. I think one of the biggies is the migration of shopping to really become this digital experience, and how marketers and businesses and commerce companies can really take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
Maybe we can come back to some of the, maybe I can dig in, shall I dig into a little bit more detail on each of those?
Absolutely. So starting with those, let's say, that expanding MarTech landscape or MarTech tools that marketers have. So the typical marketer in a company has over 30 or 35 tools at hand.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It is. And, you know, there is, of course, taking place some of, basically some of the bigger vendors are also buying the smaller vendors. So we already see that happening, but still it's plenty of tools that a marketer has. There is a shiny new object around the corner every day. New stuff comes out every day. Everything is cool and new and even better than yesterday. So what's your view on that?
Yeah. So I'll hit the shiny new object first. You know, I think we should be really careful about the shiny new objects, because the shiny new objects, folks should use the shiny new objects for the purpose of having impact around their business. Often the shiny new objects can be seductive, and we're wasting a ton of time evaluating them or figuring out how to use them, or and meanwhile our business is slipping away. There are some shiny new objects that make a lot of sense and that you should take advantage of if they can prove to make your business and your process much more efficient. In the case of issue, as an example, what we find is, you know, many of our customers, we're not replacing a competitive technology, we're replacing hours and hours and hours of manually creating or recreating content that can now be automated. So we're saving you hundreds of hours a month. And I think when you're looking at the shiny new object idea or new technologies, make sure that it either generates significant more money, or that it's going to save you a lot of time, or that it enables you to communicate your product or your businesses to your customers more effectively. If it's not doing one of those three things, it's either not the right time to use it or probably not the right product to use. A little bit more on the MarTech stack and the integrations. I'm in Silicon Valley, and often technology companies have this perspective of, we're going to create these great products for you, and then you go figure out how to use them. And as you mentioned, businesses are using more than 30 different technologies, and it's arrogant of companies to think, well, go ahead and go. We're making this great stuff. You should be using it. We know that we're one of 30 that you're using. Good luck.
Yeah.
And it's arrogant, and it's not doing a service to the ecosystem. So it's we're going to see more and more of integrations happening where you can start to provide a set of solutions, integrated solutions, for companies. For example, we announced at the end of last year that we're a premier partner now with Dropbox. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that the millions and millions and millions of marketers and businesses who are storing their marketing materials, their catalogs, their brochures, whether it's in a PDF version or some other digital version, rather than have to take that content, figure out where it is in Dropbox, put it onto your desktop, launch issue, you know, it's like a whole sort of laborious process. You can now pull content from Dropbox and then, using issue, transform it into a range of different assets that you can then use to distribute to wherever you want that content to go. And that streamlines the process, the pieces of content, the pieces, the tools that people are using. And I think we'll see more and more of that. We're seeing that with, you know, at a much larger level, we're seeing that with Salesforce acquiring Slack, so that it's not just about, Salesforce has increasingly not just been about external communications, but even more so now, Salesforce is now unifying the ability for a marketer or a business to reach out to their customers, but also start to communicate internally. And we'll see more of these sort of additional cloud configurations. We call it the story cloud in terms of where issue fits in, meaning integrating with the creation tools, Adobe, Canva, the storage systems I mentioned, Dropbox, and the platforms to which your content is going. So being able to start with one place and leveraging those tools.
And when you're working with marketers there, so you're working with mainly creatives, not even the, I would say, analytical marketers, but the creative marketers are working with issue. Mm-hmm. And that also means they're non-technical. So where in the past you would, if those systems or tools needed to be integrated, you needed like coding knowledge, you needed like IT guys, you needed to be on a roadmap of your IT department to be able to integrate something. How is that nowadays? Is that all no coding?
Yeah, I think it's your 10th trend on your marketing technologies. And I love that trend of this no coding technology access, right? And we're very much about that. Our job as at issue, and I think the best technology companies, the best MarTech companies would aspire to this as well, is to make it super simple. It should be about clicking buttons, mm-hmm. so that businesses can take advantage of the tool that you have. And it's not just because we cater primarily to creatives. By the way, we have a lot of the analytical marketers that use us because of the data and analytics that are available. But it's because what we want is our customers, again, should be able to use their time efficiently. They should be able to create the content and then, without having to do any technical work, facilitate its remixing of that content and the distribution. They also should be able to get access to the data and analytics so that they can run their business more effectively. And so I think again, maybe a fourth aspect of the shiny new object thing is, It should just be clickable use, no code required, so that everything you're doing can be efficient.
So it's going to be a great year for creative marketers again, I guess, because you know we spent too much time on all that, like, say, technical stuff the past years. It was difficult to put stuff together, and it's that really is changing in 2021. You know, it's all click, as you mentioned, like, click a button, connect stuff, easy done. And you know, you shouldn't spend time on IT stuff. You should spend time on what you're good at, being creative, defining new products, new creatives for your target audience. Which also leads me into, let's say, a trend that you identified is the growing role of storytelling. Or the storyteller, because that's also a very nice and creative aspect of marketing, which might not have had the attention it should have had the past year. So what's your take on that, on storytelling?
Yeah, so I think at the end of the day, it's the only thing businesses do is tell their story. In order to grow and thrive, you've got to be able to communicate what your products are, what your business is, and how the audience that you're trying to reach can benefit from it. Certainly, we do that at Issue, and our customers are doing that with their customers and their audience. And so we have seen over the years that the storytelling side has been sidelined to a certain extent by the technology that is used to tell the story. And we now have a set of tools for creating content and for the distribution of it. And as I talked about earlier, the number of channels that are now available, that the storytelling itself is going to be front and center. So, you know, we're seeing the rise of things like everything from TikTok, which none of us had heard of a few years ago, to, you know, to making your website much more compelling and much more interesting because you have access to tools, easy to create video tools, easy to create brochures and content. We give you the ability at Issue to take your marketing materials and automatically take elements of it and turn it into a story that can be shared on Instagram or Snapchat. So you can start to not only tell your story better, but you can start to take pieces of that content to be able to tell the story directly to the customer wherever they need to be. I'll give you another great example of the storytelling notion and how it's transforming into a digital experience. Etsy is a company where you don't necessarily think that Etsy and Etsy makers are storytellers necessarily, but in fact, if you're an individual creator making products that you're selling on Etsy, you have a very unique product that you're offering and selling. And so you need to be able to tell that story to the people who are typically buying your content. And Etsy does a lot digitally, of course, but they also used to have their makers often would get together in person and they would do trunk shows and things like that in local areas. And because of COVID, they can't do a lot of those in-person gatherings or trunk shows or farmers markets or things like that. So Etsy has actually helped them create catalogs, digital catalogs, so that they can create these digital marketplaces. And they've done that. They did that extensively all over the world during the holidays, so that rather than relying on just trunk shows, where at the trunk show, the vendors are telling their story to the customers, they're now doing all of that through digital means across a whole range of different channels, which then gives those makers access to a much larger audience than they typically would have before.
Cool. Yeah, so absolutely. You know, you're pointing out some of the advantages, basically, of the good things that have occurred after the COVID breakout, because it's not all negative that we've seen there, right? So there's a lot of cool stuff happening. Of course, I fully understand that if you're in a restaurant business now, or in a owning a hotel, or having a travel agency, it's a tough time. I'll admit that. But
I think it's very challenging on the for the hotels and the travel industry. However, we are starting to see some really interesting things happen with restaurants. You know, restaurants are now, you know, it's giving them a level of flexibility that they didn't necessarily have before. And when the restaurant was all organized around the wood paneling and where the chairs are and where the tables are as one of the primary components of the experience that they were selling, I think some folks are starting to realize that was limiting. Where if they can move, this is an example, sort of a metaphor, I think, for a lot of other folks, if they can start to think about actually our focus is food and the meal and the experience of eating this combination of ingredients with loved ones, then they can start to focus on that and a different form of distribution. Distribution is not tied to the table and the wood and the door and the decoration in the restaurant. The experience, the distribution can now leverage things like DoorDash and Uber Eats and
absolutely.
And then you can also start to take your menu. You know, we've been seeing, like, turn the menu into an experience. We've been seeing a huge growth. It's really interesting. We didn't think about this before necessarily for as a big focus of our business, but we've been seeing restaurants take their menus, upload them into Issue, turn them into a digital experience. So now people can get access to that menu anywhere they want, on their phone very easily, on the web, et cetera. They can now start to add videos into those digital menus so people can actually maybe even watch, see videos of the cooks preparing the meal.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to extend the experience that restaurants can make available. And I think this is the metaphor, I think, for the next decade is like, what is the primary experience that you're trying to deliver? And where have we gotten used to, maybe even stuck in a particular paradigm of delivering our content, and how do we evolve it?
Absolutely. And, you know, the owners of those restaurants, you know, they are very creative using the tools they need to do and, you know, using the storytelling concepts, etc. Yeah. But they're also being helped in a way by the government, because, you know, when we had those first lockdowns, March last year, people were terrified, you know, they didn't know what happened, but people have adapted to more or less the new world, and they are forced to, let's say, accept what is being brought by the restaurants at the moment. So things that you would have normally taken years and years to evolve from a cultural perspective are now basically being a little bit less, more or less forced by the new rules and the lockdowns.
Yeah.
But people seem to like it, you know, and it's people start to accept it, and it's pushing some creativity there.
Yeah. I think it's pushing the creativity. I also just want to say, you know, it's really hard. I mean, I think there are
absolutely
a lot of businesses suffering, and I think the restaurant business in particular, real estate is another one that where it's really challenging. And I don't want to be so, you know, cavalier and dismissive that, you know, just go move to a different format. But I think it's creating opportunities for a level of creativity that most of us didn't actually realize we had available to us.
Absolutely.
First response was, I have to shut my business down. And I think that was a natural response. But I think one of the things that I've seen around 2020 in particular relates to all of these issues is there's been a lot of challenges, whether it's in the business or how you're marketing or our own personal situations, families, et cetera. And often when we hit a crisis point, we get wrapped up and focused on the particular crisis and the challenge at hand. And we forget that actually throughout our lives, we have faced crisis and challenge over and over and over again. And we actually have exercised this muscle. And if we can take a moment and realize, oh, we have gotten through challenges before, and if we can use those same muscles that we've used in the past, then we can start, then that's when the creativity that we've been talking about related to restaurants mm-hmm. starts to manifest, and we can move through this.
Absolutely. Together. Absolutely. And that's, you know, I fully appreciate that when you're a restaurant owner, you know, it's all nice us, you know, guys talking from the online industry about, you know, delivery, switching your business model, et cetera. And I fully appreciate that, you know, you're not, those restaurants are not making, nearly as much on those delivery meals as they would, you know, when people visit restaurants, drink a nice bottle of wine, because, you know, to be honest, people order stuff, you know, it's a very tough competition, et cetera. But
what I'm, by the way, the other piece to it is like their costs don't have to be so high either. So there's like one of the other shifts I think that's happening for marketers. And this, you know, this is part of what we were talking about earlier, around the integration, around efficiency, is the cost of running a business can actually start to get can start to change pretty dramatically. And so, you know, we don't want. I'm not an expert necessarily on the restaurant business, but as an example, you know, we've put a ton. Typically, businesses have put a ton of emphasis on brick and mortar as being a foundation, even the rise of digital over the last 20 years, there's still been this emphasis on brick and mortar. And brick and mortar has its advantages, but it also has a set of sunk costs that we naturally incorporate into our business plan. And when you don't have that anymore, or you're not allowed to have that anymore, you can start to run things more efficiently. I'll give you another great example from the marketing world. One of the changes that I think we've seen happen has been how folks are using a sales organization. So there have been a lot of businesses that up until a year ago relied on an external sales force, people going door to door or making sales calls in person, because we thought, you know, you need to have the personal touch. It's the only way to do that. And I'm old fashioned that way. I like the personal touch and traveled a lot and met with customers in person. But we've discovered that actually you could start to have meaningful business opportunities online, whether you're using Zoom or Hangouts or Skype or whatever you're using, or you can start picking up the phone. And you could do a couple of things. Rather than spend time sitting on airplanes or driving in cars, you can actually use that time more efficiently to communicate and interact with customers or potential customers. You can start to reach way more people than you ever could before. And it's forcing us to use these tools, these creativity tools that we have as the storyteller, to communicate more effectively. So those folks who are over-relying on in-person, as I talked about, you know, the Etsy mm-hmm. example, we're seeing the same thing with conferences. Like conferences are now able to be way bigger and reach a much larger audience in a digital format, because for the people who couldn't fly to, you know, not everyone can fly to go to the next web conference or web summit or whatever the stationary show or whatever it happens to be, but you can actually still get access to the information and the data. So it's just an interesting shift, I think, that we're seeing right now. And
absolutely,
all these areas where we can be more efficient will I think benefit us in the long run.
And the nice thing I would like to say there is that it's being accepted by the audience now. You know, you as a vendor, you know, some vendors are very, let's say, innovative about new technologies. They would like to do stuff online, but the audience just wouldn't buy it. And at the moment, you know, people accept it. And that's, I think, a great thing about the whole turnaround that we had last year, is people accept that online can be as good as offline in a meeting, for example. So I hope, you know, I can't wait to jump on a plane again, you know, meet people, et cetera. But I'm not looking forward to those, let's say, unnecessary travel hours. Yeah. I'm based out of the Netherlands. You know, it's a little different. Business doing in Europe is different from in the US. You know, you guys are already accustomed to a lot of online demos, for example. Here, we would just jump in a car, drive 1.5 hours, meet a prospective customer, and after 10 minutes, find out that it's a complete misfit. You know, that's what happened a lot. And, you know, I'm not looking forward to those times again. So I hope and I expect that you know, we can still use Zoom or Teams or whatever kind of solution you're using there for prospecting, for example, as well. Which also leads me to one of your trends that you pointed out is the use of video. Because, you know, we as marketers have lagged a little behind because, you know, when was YouTube founded? Probably 2002 or 4 or something, you know, millions and millions of minutes of video are uploaded every minute. And we as marketers and salespeople, you know, we have been into this, let's say video must be a very nice and expensive thing. Whereas we now see, you know, people are using it in sales, in proposals. They're using Vidyard kind of solutions. What's your take on video and the use of video within marketing and sales?
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of the most dominant forms of content, of course. And like everything else, it doesn't have to be designed and managed and worked with in the same way that we did before. We can do things on the fly. We can do things with a lot more creativity, and it doesn't have to be as polished and as managed as in the past. So, you know, it used to be we'll do a promotional video shoot, and it costs massive amounts of money and dozens of people involved and editing and you know, you'd say I want a 2-minute sizzle reel and it takes weeks to do. And so one of the constraints that we've had around video up to this point has been the amount of time and money that we thought we needed to sort of put into those kinds of projects. And I think we've seen again, through the use of video conferencing that we've all been doing this in the last year, through the rise of influencers on platforms like TikTok and Instagram, that actually with very little external effort, you can start to put together really strong videos that are compelling and help tell your story. I think the bigger aspect of video that we often forget is that, again, video is one of those pieces of content that you can reuse and remix in a whole range of different ways. So you can actually take a piece of video, you can, as I talked about earlier, you can now drop that piece of video into a menu. And so now you have like a waiter, you can actually have the experience of a waiter telling you about what the meal is while you're looking at the menu. That's really exciting. You start to mix and match these things.
And that's easy to do.
Super easy to do. And it doesn't take anything. You actually just have one of the people who are a waiter at your restaurant talk about what's on the menu. We're seeing the same thing with real estate. You know, you can have, rather than have to have this super polished, perfect video of a house that would take, you know, part of the reason you'd list houses later than you wanted to is it would take a couple of weeks to get the video ready, right? You can have the real estate agent or the homeowner take a really compelling personalized video of what they love about their home and put that video into a mobile optimized story or post that then gets distributed on everything from Facebook and LinkedIn to Instagram to your own website to embedded in a MailChimp email, right? So video is a component of storytelling. And from the issue perspective, you know, one of the things that we make sure of is that people can mix and match the right assets. So you can pull together what's written on the pages of your brochure with a video that that illumines it even more, amplifies it even more, and then distribute that to the different channels that that are available to you. But I think, you know, now with the capability in phones, you know, you can do a lot just with your phone. And I think in the same way that we've accepted not having to do everything in person for a meeting perspective, we've accepted a little bit more grittiness, a little bit more creativity in video content than we've typically been used to.
Absolutely. And maybe as a marketer, you can start using your phone for what it's being designed for. You know, you're paying over $1,000 for an iPhone. You know, part of the reason is that nice camera, which a lot of marketers are not using. So it's got the stabilizer and all that kind of stuff is in there. Yeah. It's all there. You can start doing it tomorrow. So that's, you know, 2021 is going to be a great year for marketers. They're going to be back to creativity, spending more time on what they're good at, you know, serving customers, finding the needs of customers, being creative. It was an absolute pleasure talking to you, Joe.
It's great to talk to you too.
We had a couple of trends. Is there something I missed here that you would like to highlight to the listeners before we conclude the session?
I think the main thing that I'll just say is we've been globally through a massive challenge. It's affected all of us in some form or other. COVID and the impact that it's had on our business, on our personal lives. And I believe that we will move through this together. And I think if we can step back and recognize that this has forced us into a new way of thinking about things, a new way of looking about our business and the creativity that's available to us, that you know, my wish for everybody is to really harness that creativity and that the resiliency that we have available to us and come out of this as in a better place.
And that's a great way of ending this session, Joe. Thank you very much for being
Thank
on
you.
The Marketing Technology Show. I'll share your LinkedIn profile, of course, so people will know how to contact you, as well as I'll share the issue website and the details on that. Thank you very much for being
Thank
on the
you.
Show. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform or iTunes. Also, if you want to be a guest or know someone that should be a guest to our show, shoot me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you for listening.